I have no idea. All righty. So last week, Kenny, I told him, from now on, we're going to have to videotape these sermons. That's out of control. All I can say is out of control. Was that not, I mean, was that awesome or out of control? Awesome. You know, when you got a guy jumping up and down like a dog, those that missed it now are going, what did we miss last? You did. You missed out on Kenny being very excited about the way a word meant, and it was awesome. And he shared a lot about it. It was really cool. I love his passion. I love the passion of what God's doing at the church. And this morning, I'm going to actually share kind of an update and a vision of what we're doing as a church. And it's going to be exciting. I want to talk to you about what I feel like God's taking us into. And, you know, sometimes you don't get to hear what I get to hear. You don't get to hear testimonies that we get to hear. You don't get to hear stuff that God's doing. And so this morning, we're going to do a combination of both. I want to give you an update on what we believe God's saying as a church. And I shared a vision with you last October and November that we need to grow in some areas as a church. And I think I want to give you some status and some updates on where I feel like we're going and where we need to be. So this is some things we're doing. So in last year, I shared with you a list of all this. I brought even my sermon from last week, last year about this. Our main focus going into 2020 is where can we be more fruitful? How can we be more fruitful? And we talked about here in the church, we need to honor God's presence in such a way on Sunday morning that when we get here on Sunday mornings, we're here to worship, and we're here to get in the Word, and we're here to minister to people. And since for the last 4 months, we have had, I believe, a great transition into what we want to see God do even more here, and that is we're going to have the worship come forth, the Word presented, and an opportunity for ministry at the end of every service. And we've been doing that. And it's exciting because we're hearing testimonies of people coming up and getting their needs met. And it's awesome. And we want to make sure when you know that people are coming to our Sunday morning encounters that we're not watering it down. We're not saying, but we are changing the focus, that our focus during worship isn't to get a word or to give a word or to get a word. It's to experience the Word himself. It's experience him in a way that is lively and relevant to us. So when we are here on Sunday mornings where our focus is on truly on him and we worship the Word, him, Jesus is the Word, you know, in John 1. He's the Word, became God, and he was God in the beginning. That's he is the Word. So we're here to seek him, not just what he has. And as we're in his presence, we have things like this morning where I believe the word from Kenny, I felt such confirmation when he shared that this morning. It was really weird. When he shared that, I thought, where are you going? And then in my spirit, I just really felt confirmation that God wanted to do something special. For those of you that have been struggling, I want to encourage you. If you guys know that I hate fluff and matter of fact, one of the things I've got to be over, because I've been in this charismatic circles for so long, those that don't know, let me just stop and say this. You know, I didn't grow up this way. I grew up in a church that didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, didn't believe in healing, didn't believe in anything that I believe now, because the Word of God showed me elsewhere, by the way, that I was wrong. That's why I changed, not because I wanted a different way. But God's Word is what rules our thinking, not. You know, one of the things that I just want to encourage you so much, this, Kenny, as you said, this thing just really is exciting for me to use. It's a battle. It's one of my overcoming battles on Sunday mornings is my microphone. Anyways, I want to encourage you this, that when we let our experience dictate our theology and our theology not our experience, you'll be led into a lot of false beliefs. I was ministering 2 weeks ago to somebody who, I'm going to start with this testimony, was an atheist, is an atheist, excuse me. And as I was ministering to them, we began to go back and forth with some questions. And as I began to go there with him, I decided I don't want to argue with him. I want to let him know, what would Jesus do right here? And I felt in my heart as I was standing across the table from him, I needed to let this guy know that no matter what, I'm going to love him. And throughout the whole thing, I just kept loving on him, combating some truth. Don't get me wrong, I can't hide who I am. I'm still an apologetics guy. I can't change that. As we were going back and forth, and finally he goes, he looks at me at one point, he gives me a fist, he puts his hand across there like this, and I go, why? He goes, give me a fist pump. Boom. He goes, you're the first person I ever talked to that isn't trying to make me feel stupid for what I believe. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I said, here's why. I will say nothing in our time together today to change you. But if God's love, which is what is a transforming power of his character and nature, can touch you today, I believe God's love will convert you, not my arguments. And I say, and by the way, I am withholding a ton because there's a lot of things you said that I just want to go and jump on right now, but I'm going to wait till we meet again. And we're going to go across my table with books and Bibles and the internet if you want it. And I'm going to bring Kenny with me, the science guy, because I ain't going to go there. And so we're going to go, and I'm going to get you the answers, too, you want. But today, I just want you to know that Jesus loves you, and he's not at all upset with the fact that you're questioning what you believe. But I want to encourage you, Jesus does love you, man. And he just looked at me, and the guy that was with us walked away and goes, I have never, why'd you do that for? Because I said, you're the one who brought him here, not me. You asked me to meet with him. And he goes, and this guy was almost crying. And he's not a born-again believer either, by the way. And I thought, Lord, this is what I want more opportunities for. That is where we want to see the mission go. It's not just in the church. This last week, another testimony in the making. But these are testimonies in the making. I had the privilege of working side by side. I was called to go down. Those that know, I'd have a little part-time gig that it's not really little, but that would go. And one of the places I was at, I was talking to one of their people in charge. And he was very, very, very homosexual. Trust me, there's no doubt. So he also decided to make it very clear to me he is. But he also let me know that he's an ordained pastor. And so we had a lot in common. You talk about biting your lip hard. But as I heard his testimony, my heart broke. Because when he was trying to discover who he was, he had two people that were four sources in his life. The ones who loved him, family, and the ones who loved him, church. The family told him, we understand what you're thinking. Please do not laugh when I say this, or even be upset. I'm not trying to be offensive. But I'm going to tell you what they told him. We understand that you're struggling with something right now, but what we want to encourage you is it's okay to have the thoughts, but don't have sex with, same sex. That way it's okay. Let's not take care of the problem. Let's just fix the solution is don't act out on what you're feeling, and you're going to be okay the rest of your life. So he tried really hard for all these years. I want to please God. So, and then he found a church that loved them so much, they said, what you're doing is just fine with us. People just misunderstand the scripture. So this young kid, the way the church fixed it, they set him up with a woman to get married and ask him because, as he said, quote, I drank the Kool-Aid. He got married to a woman, even though he didn't feel it, didn't know it. And he goes, for 5 years, he stayed married to a woman he had nothing, there's no relationship at all. And finally, he's like, this is a lie, I'm living a lie. And so he went back to the church and said, I can't do this, I'm sorry. And he goes, and so they told me, because you're going through divorce, we have to kick you out of the church. So this is a church who said what he did was okay. But you see, here's why it bothers me so much, and I'll share this with you. Folks, people are confused. And in those moments of their confusion, in their moments of their struggle, they need us to love them and bring them to truth. The love over here was nice, but it didn't lead them to truth. And the truth over here was decayed, was wrong, it was a lie. So between this person getting loving counsel that was bad and a church that accepted sinful behavior, then they went off to another place. I did not know that. I'm not going to go there. But to be in the, anyways. And they ordained him through it and everything was fine. My heart sat there and went, immediately a thought. Boy, Lord, if I would have been able to go back in that young boy's life when he was struggling, what if that love and truth combined together could transformation possibly have taken place before he began to walk in that lifestyle? I don't know, but here's what I do know. I want the church to become love and truth to a point where we're seeing people's lives get transformed. And that's the heart of where we're going this year. And so even I got way off on my notes, but let's just go jump to the message. But what our vision is for 2020 is to love God on Sunday mornings. On Tuesday nights, we've been coming in his word and getting ministry time. But on Tuesday nights, if you've missed out, we have made a great, great impact. In the first, second, third, fourth, we've got to do a better job in reminding you what these are. But on the first Tuesday of every month, we're having a time of praise and worship and prayer in the sanctuary during the day, and we have encounter nights in the evenings. Encounter nights are a time for us to come and encounter and drink from the well that was prophesied and promised to us as a church. And we're hoping to open up even more opportunities for that, where people can come in this place and have an encounter with God. And then the second Tuesday, this Tuesday, it's going to be a time of praying for our nation. Nod when I'm wrong, or do this when I'm wrong. Praying for our nation, our state, and all the governments. City, state, nation. I've been quicker if I said it that way. So we're going to pray for those that God asks us to pray for, governing authorities, people over us, our mayor, and other people, that chief of police, and they pray for. And then the third one, we have a time of teaching and prayer. And the fourth one is a time that I'm committed. And last week, Kenny shared the testimony he had. And mine, his was back there. And mine, I just actually sat right back there on that curtain, leaned against those chairs, and just enjoyed the presence of God as we were praying. I just want to tell you, we need to just come on in. I'll invite you. But that's one thing we said on Tuesdays. It's time for the believers to come together and pray and worship. Prayer precedes revival. Prayer precedes power. Prayer precedes everything. I do not believe we're going to see the move of God, the power of God, the resurgence of souls until we go out, and I'm going to show you some stuff in Scripture in a minute. We need to pray and come together in unity and see what God does. These are some new focuses we're doing this year, and I think so far, I'm excited about them. And those that are coming out, please keep coming. There's something good stirring during the week, too. And so then on Monday nights, of course, we have our men's and women's, and then this week, then we have connect groups going on. And I'm excited. So those of you, here's where I want to start this morning. There's a lot of, this church, we talk a lot about healing because I believe it's God's will. And I believe, and so here this morning, I'm going to share with you some things about what God's doing in us and what he wants to do through us. So right now, I talk about what he's doing in us. If you are a man and you are, women can't do this. I'm sorry. This is just for now. This is a school that Keith Moore used to teach at Rhema Bible College. If you don't believe, which I'm not going today to convince you, and that's not my job, this thing right here is 287 pages, I think is what we had to pay the printer to do, 290 pages, telling you why it's God's will for us to be healed. It's a teaching series that he's done as church, and he used to teach at Rhema. This is powerful, and I've been enjoying I've been enjoying going through the video and reading these things. It's chapter after chapter after chapter throughout the Old and the New Testament on how it's God's will to heal, as the title says. On Wednesday nights, if you don't think that's, we let men and women go to this one. This book's okay. It's one of my favorites as far as overall, but it's very repetitive, whatever. It doesn't matter. There are some things. I marked it, and I just lost it. This book right here is a book that has healing and victory is ours. They are ours without asking. All we need to do is simply know it and praise him for it. Having this great, Hebrews 4 says, having a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, just son, let us hold fast to our confession. We are to hold fast our confession. And our confession is what he was stricken, smitten of God, with our infirmities and weaknesses, and now by his stripes we are healed. And it goes on to say, I love this part. We should never talk about our diseases when all the trouble to tell people is to get sympathy. This is a statement that I think is interesting. We don't realize how much when we tell people about our troubles, forgive me if I'm stepping on toes, but I'm just reading a guy's book, okay? It's not my fault. But how many times when we're going through a bad time, whether it's physical or emotional, we have to tell everybody about it. And rather than taking it to the throne and confessing the word of God over our circumstances, we're confessing the problem to our friends to get maybe their response, their sympathy, or whatever. And I'm not saying sympathy's bad, but compassion's better. You understand the difference? Sympathy's nice, compassion's better. Compassion brings change. Jesus said he was moved with compassion and he healed that were there. Compassion is the stirring inside of us that causes situations to change and be transformed. Anyways, but this book goes on many, many times. But this is our Wednesday night study. And so I go through all this to say, as a church, we believe that we want to teach you what God's word says. And here's what I'm going to share with you this morning. It is our inheritance. It is our inheritance for these things to be received for us. God's word says in 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. Were. What he did on the cross purchased your salvation, your healing, your freedom, and everything. And as we understand as a believer, the way that we activate the word in every area, how do we get saved? Acts 10:9, right? We confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. Faith hears it, believes it, and speaks it. That is the root of all confession in the church. How do you get saved? By grace through faith, you are saved. How does it get exercised? Grace comes, faith holds on and speaks it out, and that's how we receive anything by faith. You receive it as word form, and you have to believe it in your heart with faith and speak it and declare it out, the confession of our faith. So the way that we operate everything in the kingdom of God works this way. We release faith by believing and speaking, believing and confessing. And so this is our inheritance. So as Christians, the argument should not exist whether or not God heals today, because his word says he does. And again, I have two books here. I'm not here to argue, but I'm trying to bring a contrast to where we're going with this. God's will is that all believers, why would he say in James 5, is there any sick among you? I believe that's a question. Some don't. Some believe that it means, since there's going to be people sick at church, come to the altar and let the elders pray for them. I don't believe that. I believe it's a question mark for a reason. Is there sick among you? If there is, I believe because there's a question, so we respond to it, then why don't you come forward and have the elders anoint them with oil and pray, and the prayers of faith shall raise them from sickness. Is that not the word? So the question is, as believers, our inheritance is we ought to be walking in healing. And if you're not healed, though, hey, guess what? We're going to have people up here that are full of faith with you, and their prayer of faith will raise up the sick, it says. So if it's not God's will, why is he telling people? This is so confusing to me. If it's not God's will to heal, why is he telling us then to come to the altar and get prayer for healing? Huh? Fool, Joe, just kidding. I only do that once in a while. Only on Thursdays. No, God's not like that. He purchased your salvation. He purchased your healing. He purchased your freedom. Everything at the cross. It's our job as Christians to activate those things and to confess those things. It's like we use this analogy all the time, but it's like going to the ATM. Our inheritance is what's in our bank account. And you know what's really good? Some of you go to the ATM and go, it doesn't matter what code it is, there ain't no money coming out of here. That's okay. But you know what? That code you're putting in is your step there to bring forth what's rightfully yours. It's no different in the kingdom of God. We go forth and we know what our inheritance is as believers. We are an inheritance from God to be healed, freed, saved. Because once you're saved, you are now children, heirs, co-heirs with Christ. And when we walk this out, there's a freedom that we ought to be operating in every day. I read this a couple weeks ago, Romans 6, that we too ought not to live a life under sin. Sin should not be something that we should have to deal with. Our inheritance is that we're free from sin, but we struggle with it. Our inheritance is that we're free from sickness, but we struggle with it. So my heart is this for the church. When you understand this, it becomes a rudiment, a ground level understanding. Part of our foundation should not be wrestling upon whether it's God's will to heal. I'm going to share a story with you. I share this now at home group. I share it a couple times. You can share it, I think, Tuesday. But it's an important one for me because I've seen God heal my body many times over the years. But this one was a different one. About 2 weeks ago, on a Monday, I woke up, and for those that don't know, with Joshua turning 18 and everything, our insurance got messed up and we lost our insurance. So I have been taking a medication for for years of just struggling with, anyways, for some inflammation and all that. And I was attacked years ago when I was in my mid-30s with gout. Those that don't know, it's horrible. My knee, if those remember, was swollen up like three times. I couldn't even wear pants. Had a lot of struggle with it. prayed it through, but never truly saw the miracle I was looking for throughout that time. I always end up having to still. So we stopped taking them, and I have no idea if the medication was working or not. It's a plant-based product. I said, I'll try it. But Monday, we have not been on insurance, and so I haven't been taking anything. And 2 weeks ago, Monday morning, I woke up with that dreaded feeling, and pain began to hit my arm. I've had it in my ankles, my knees, had this one, but it was this elbow right here. And all of a sudden, I felt that, oh, no, here we go. And that dreaded feeling comes on me. And I want to share this a testimony because I'm not here to say I was victorious at first. But I will say I was victorious quicker than I've ever been in my life, ever been. And I had pain grip me. And if you've heard the rumors about it, it's painful, I'm not going to lie. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, boy. Oh, yeah, it's getting warm. So I'm getting all the symptoms down. Okay, pain, warm. Oh, waiting for swelling now. Now it's going to swell because last time it was the size of a tennis ball on my elbow. It's disgusting, by the way. So I'm like, oh, now there's swelling. I can feel it swelling as I sang it. I thought, and I hit myself, wait a minute. Here I am speaking the symptoms out before they're even coming. No. And I just was laying there in bed, and I said, in the name of Jesus. I touched the pain, to touch it hurt. In the name of God, grab my elbow. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. I will not allow this in my body. I felt something different, but the pain didn't go right away. And I kept praying. Every time I felt something, I rebuked it. I prayed. This went on for 5 hours. But the first time, I didn't give up. A lot of times, I'll pray and just keep fighting through my day and But I didn't. This time, my arms, now I'm sitting on I'm still putting it above my heart on my computer like this. And I was like, the pain got so bad, I could see the knots about this big now. And I'm thinking, and I finally said, stopped. I put my computer, I said, listen, Jesus, I have to talk to you right now. Your word says it. I'm going through it right here. That's why I said it. We're going through a study on Monday nights, on Wednesday nights about healing. This church believes in it. I believe in it. And I know you're not a liar. I know your word's not a liar. I'm confused. Why is this thing right here? It doesn't have the right to be here. This is not right. Your word says I'm healed. And this doesn't belong in my body. As I'm pointing to my elbow. This doesn't belong here. And so I'm telling you right now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke symptoms, pain, swelling, everything. And this has got to go. I am not going to walk this out because normally it's about a 3 to 4 day process before the gout breaks down. It gets bigger, harder, and after day two, you're pretty much in bed because of pain and whatever. I'm not doing this week. I'm not doing it. Kind of had my moment. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to keep on my computer. And I never thought about it until I was going to jump in the shower because I worked from home all day because I wasn't going to go anywhere. I jumped in the shower, and as I'm showering, I'm like, oh, wait, that's cool. And I went to grab my elbow, and all the swelling was gone, 100%. Now, that's good. I went to men's group, and that was 2 weeks ago. Now, why I share that with you is this. I took what was mine. I didn't ask God to do something that is new and he has to do something for me now. I took what was mine. We have to get a mindset as believers that Jesus took your sorrow, your sickness, and your pain, and your sin. He took it. And we got to remind ourselves that he already took this. This is what he did at the cross for us. He bore our sickness. He bore our sin. So we shouldn't have to suffer any longer any of these things. That is our inheritance as believers. If you have any questions, would you please do me a favor? Either A, I'll give you one of these. B, I'll give you one of these. Or C, set up a time to talk with Kenny or I. Or even Mark Beck, somebody you know that's knowledgeable in the area that can sit down with you what the word says about it. Don't base it on what your experiences are, as I said earlier. Your experiences will only be dictated to a level, but our theology won't change because of my experience. This book is a good book, but it's not the Bible. But everything in here quotes the Bible, so it's pretty nice, pretty convenient. But this doesn't lie. This is what's rightfully ours as believers. Now, with that being said, it requires us to have faith to walk it out. Switching gears this morning, Is there any, but before I do that, did you see, Kenny, there's a testimony about healing you wanted? Yeah, healing. Where's the microphone? Do you have it? So Kenny's going to introduce this and share a few things. Then he gets put in back up. Then I'm going to switch directions and talk about something that's really exciting next. So go ahead. Then I'll introduce what you're going to say later.
No idea what you're talking about. You know, I like what he said there at the end because he kept holding up those books. And the beauty about it is those books aren't the Bible, but they use it extensively. If you want to look in the back of that book, he has 101 scriptures on healing. And that's what's used as a basis of the theology throughout the entirety of the book. We'll never venerate any author or any book above the Word of God. All right, so we're not saying that whatsoever. But we have to get this understanding, and I love it. One of the illustrations he uses, it says, healing is the children's bread. It says, how good is our Father? If you ask for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. If you ask for fish, he's not going to give you a snake. But yet there's so many people getting bitten by snakes because they believe their affliction is theirs for a time, and it's God's will for them to have it. No, he's not giving you that. He's going to give you the fish. He's going to give you the bread. And so many people, Keith Moore said like this, they're chewing gravel. Because they're thinking, well, it's okay, Lord, show me something, and then I'll be healed of this. Where's that in the Bible? Give me one scripture for that. And that's where we rise up in knowing who we are as children of God. No, he said healing is a children's bread, a staple that every child should have. Right? He didn't say healing is cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory, something you get once or twice every year. Or, well, for us, and however long ago, I don't know. But he didn't say that. It's a bread, something that everybody has. And so I love that. But along with that, we also can see the Bible clearly tells us to go. I was just reading in Matthew chapter, 10 maybe, 11, somewhere around there. He met the man with withered hand, and he gives this whole spiel about, is it not right if you on the Sabbath day, if your sheep falls in a hole, won't you go get it? How much greater is this man? So he was justifying the Pharisees what he's about ready to do for this man, because you would save your sheep. This man's greater than the sheep. He says, stretch forth your hand. And it was a command because he knew his right as a child of God, as the child of God. And the man acted in obedience, and because he acted in obedience, the man's hand was whole as he stretched it forth. It wasn't a long prayer, it was a command. And in this instance, it didn't even say anything about faith, but we know Jesus had faith. And he stretched forth his hand to it. And so what I want to encourage you with is we've been not just ministering to people, that's our vision here at the church, but it's also ministering to the people. You remember, in the Bible, everyone that came to Jesus for healing was healed, and they were unbelievers. In a sense, they weren't saved. Heaven was not their end result yet. That couldn't happen until Jesus went and preached to them after they had died, or until he had died and shed his blood and rose again. It doesn't mean they didn't have faith, but it means they weren't believers. And we got to understand that when we go out, it's not just in here, but it's as we go out. It says in Matthew 10, 7 and 8. Sorry, I'm going to use your Bible. It's the exact same as mine, except yours is burgundy, so I'm sure it's on the same page, right? But Matthew 10, 7, 8, this has become my life verse. I can't get away from it. And as you go preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's not there. It's here. It's at hand. You're like, well, that was because Jesus was saying it and he was right there. And it's like, yes, you're correct. But then he went and he says, I give you authority to tread over serpents. He says, greater is he that is in you because he's overcome the world. And now we are the same because of him and us, the authority of him and us. He's seated far above all powers and principalities and rulers, it says in Ephesians. And so are we seated up there with him. We are to do what he did. And he says, and greater things that you will do. So our faith is not just, it's for us to, as believers, once we receive Jesus Christ, to understand that healing is ours as a right of a child of the King. As a right. Because I'm in right standing, I'm righteous through Christ to God, healing is mine. I possess it. I have the ability to possess it for my own. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm not walking as Jesus did just yet. He had no sickness in his body any time in his life. There are times where I struggle with things as well, and I go ask somebody to pray for me, to join their faith to mine, to agree upon the word of God for healing in my life. And so it's not either or, it's both and. You see what I'm saying? We have to understand that healing is our right as the children of the Father, just as it was Jesus. We also have to understand that is there any sick among you, then go and get hands laid upon you. And that's okay too. It's okay to say, you know what, I was diagnosed with this. I'm not this. I'm not going to revel in that, but that's their diagnosis of it. I'm not going to accept it. That's their diagnosis of it. And because they've diagnosed it, the beauty of it is they've given it a name. And I'm pretty sure in Scripture it says every name Jesus is above. And every name bows its knee to the feet of Jesus. I was so excited when I went to the doctor and they said, you have, this is what they said, I'm not claiming this. He says, you have degenerative disease. I said, you said it was a disease? Hallelujah, I'm healed. Because I didn't know what it was. But I know this, that Jesus bore all sicknesses. I know that he became a curse for me on the cross. And that this disease, it wasn't named degenerative disc in the Bible, but it says in Deuteronomy, any other disease not named is a curse, and Jesus has redeemed us from that curse. So I'm like, praise God, I'm redeemed. Thank you, it's all I need to know. And I walked out of there. It doesn't mean that flare-ups don't come. It doesn't mean that attacks don't come from the enemy. But what it does mean is when the attacks do come, the victory is enforced through claiming the word of God on that. Amen? I don't even know how I got there. Sorry, Pastor. You got me fired up on that. That wasn't even part of it. What was I supposed to do again? I have no idea. No, that's not true. The testimonies that I want to share with you is we believe this as a body, and part of it is ministering to the body. And we've been seeing testimonies of healing. And we've been seeing testimonies, but we don't give you those testimonies often enough. We want to encourage you because the word testimony means to do it again, to see it again, to do it again. And many of you have testimonies of healing. You know, I was able to pray with Laura on Sunday, you know, her head, when the word, I felt the word, you know, the pain in the head comes, she came forward and healed. Amen. That's okay. We can give glory to Jesus. I'll do it. You can do it later. But she was healed. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. She was healed. Ricardo came on Tuesday evening, and he was having pain in the foot. And see, here's what's weird. I've been trying to learn and grow, and I've been telling you about words of knowledge. The Bible is full of words of knowledge. If you start seeking it out, and it speaks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as one of the manifestations of the Spirit, words of knowledge are all throughout the Bible. For example, go into the town, you'll see a donkey. That's the words of knowledge. There it was. I mean, it's just, and there's so many examples of words of knowledge of the Bible. And what it does, it instantly connects your heart to the heart of the Father. So if I believe that I heard from the Lord and I said, you know, on Tuesday night, for example, two words came to me, and one was toes. You know that's God because I can't stand feet. And the other one was liver, right? Okay? So I'm telling you, I'm seeing this, and I could miss it. And I apologize if I did. I don't ever want you to encounter me. That's not my goal of heart. But what you should grab a hold of in faith is, okay, God knows where I'm at. Whatever I've been crying out for, what I've been praying for, whatever I've been believing for, God's, he's marking at this moment, and my heart's connected to his. And it raises faith, therefore, in that moment. So with that being said, I want to introduce to you a testimony from, I asked her to share, Carol, so go ahead and come on up. If you would introduce yourself, too, because I don't know how many people you have met since you've been coming here for quite some time now as well.
I'm Carolyn. That was very exciting, and so now I have to bring my brain back to where I'm supposed to do. He had a call. When he was talking about the liver, he said that somebody was having trouble with the liver and that God was going to heal you. Well, I was diagnosed with liver cirrhosis years ago. I was a drug user, and I had hepatitis. Because it was undiagnosed for so many years, affected my liver. And I always have been walking in faith since for 30 years, because God miraculously healed me, delivered me, and I had such a wonderful experience that I know there's nothing impossible with him. And so I walk in that. So the doctors are saying a lot of things about my condition. Eventually, I went through hepatitis treatments, and I felt like the Lord told me to do that. But just a few weeks into those treatments, a pastor called me, a friend of mine, and said I was healed. And I was. But the cirrhosis was still there. The tumor was gone. The viral load went from 40 billion to zero. But I still had the scar tissue. And the scar tissue makes it so your liver doesn't function the way a normal person's liver functions. But I've been living an extremely blessed life for the years since I had those treatments 7 years ago. They told me originally when they found the tumor that I had to have about 6 months to live. If I didn't try the treatments, that I would have zero opportunity for any life. And that's why the Lord told me to do it. So what happens is that I have it in my mind that God has left the scar tissue there, but he told me one time before, I can heal you by medication, I can heal you by diet, or I can heal you miraculously. So I was believing that by diet, he was healing me, and I've been living a wonderful life for that time, but the MRI is still showing the scar tissue. And when Pastor said that, I remembered what the pastor had told me I can heal by diet or I can heal you miraculously. And so I came up when he said somebody with the liver, and I said, I have liver cirrhosis, which I don't confess that, but I said that. And when he put his hand on me, I could feel right here where this lump was. You can see right here, I felt it just go like that. And I felt the front just go like that. And I want to let you know that I had steak for dinner last night, not a little bit, which I haven't been able to, because you're obviously you can't process protein when you don't have a liver. And I feel great today, and I felt great last night, and I praise God for it.
Man, that makes me cry. Isn't God good? Let's get our mindset that's what church should be. Let's get our minds expecting that this is the way it is normal. We allow ourselves to be pulled away, and we get attacked. We get sidelined and said it's God's will for us to live this way. That's part one of the message, and we're 35 minutes into it. So part two is going to be different. I'm going to introduce it, but I guess all the scriptures I want to go to, we're going to get to next week. So, okay, Mark 16, if you open your Bibles, please. I'm shaking up here. My legs are literally... Hey, before we do this, anybody right now, I might have you just do something for me. I feel... Whew. Anybody, besides Wayne, I'm going to have Wayne stand up first. Anybody right now that has their body right now physically needs a touch from God? I don't care what it is. Would you just stand up right now? Just stand up. Anybody? Wayne, I know you have to. There you go. Thank you. Okay. Kenny, come on up here. Turn that mic on. Can we agree with you right now for God to do a miracle? But I'm going to talk about miracle because it's going to be a miracle because everything in God is a miracle, but his word is going to be enacted right now. And those of you who've been suffering with pain, just this is testimony right here. Believing, you know, I'm walking in faith, but there's always more. I'm going to have Kenny pray with us today. I'm going to pray, then I'm going to have Kenny. We're going to do two prayers back to back. We're going to pray, and he's going to pray, and we're going to believe right now for a miracle. Would you do that for me? Let's get our faith out there. We just heard three or four testimonies now. Right here happening in this church. And I'm doing this to raise your faith level, your expectancy. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess on heaven and on earth, Jesus is Lord. So in the name of Jesus, the Lord, we thank you that healing is my inheritance. As Kenny alluded, when Jesus talked and he said to the Syrophoenician woman that it's healing is a children's bread. That's what he told this woman. That means it's my sustenance. It's my source of strength. Jesus said, just as you pray for daily bread, your children have bread to eat because it's a need. So just with that analogy right now, I'm thanking you that this is the children's bread today. And your children are standing here believing for their healing today. And so today, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke sickness and disease from these bodies standing right now. He said he rebuked the devil and they left. He said he went on healing all those that are oppressed by the devil. So first and foremost, we take authority over every curse of sickness, over disease, spirit of disease of any kind. I don't care. I don't have to name you. But we take authority and we tell you, you got a command right now to go in the name of Jesus. You don't have a right to be in these children of God. And so we take authority over sickness and disease, and you've got to go at the sound of my voice right now, not because of who I am, but because of the authority that's in us, in Jesus. We take authority and say, you've got to go and stop tormenting these people in Jesus' name right now. In the name of Jesus. And we speak and declare healing to flow through our bodies. It's the work of the cross. It's not anything we've done. It's Jesus. And as Kenny's about to pray for you right now, again, as he'll continue, I want you right where you're standing as he's continuing to pray. Would you begin to take your focus now off of prayer and put it on to praise? Lord, I thank you right now that by your stripes I'm healed. I worship you, O God, my deliverer, my healer, and my salvation. You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord. It's your nature. It's your character. How can we deny who you are? You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, my healer. And so we worship the Lord our healer, the Lord our deliverer, the Lord our savior. Lord, we worship you, God. And we thank you for taking, ready, take, let give it to him right now. Take this from me. I thank you for taking this sickness and this disease from my body. And then I thank you for it. I worship you.
In the name of Jesus, we just command all pain to be gone. Right now, if the Lord has touched you and you feel a reduction in your pain, just give him praise for it. If you're next to one who's standing right now, just put your hands on him. Put your hands on him. Put him on her shoulder. Ask him if you can. It's not about a person. It's about the King. It's about our Father. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to come. Make your presence known to manifest healing throughout this body. Throughout this body. And we command all sickness to go in Jesus' name. We command all pain to go in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit of infirmity. We tell you to go to Jesus' feet and to obey him. We don't receive you and we cut you off right now. We cut off your life source in the name of Jesus. And we receive healing. Hallelujah. We just praise you. We worship you, Jesus. We just thank you for your mercy. We just thank you for your touch, God. We thank you for your love. So this is a love language of yours. Healing given to us is a manifestation of your love unto us. We sung about it earlier, just how your love is so much for us, God. Hallelujah. And I just pray again right now, Lord God, not just for physical pain, but for hearts that need to be mended, Lord God, through broken relationships, Father, through wounds from relationships, God, whether it be mother, father, it doesn't matter, spouse, Lord God, whatever wounds there are, right now that there would be a release of healing that would mend those broken hearts, Father, in Jesus' name. God, it's not just that you would, it's prosperity for our soul, our spirit and our body, Father God. Not just the body. So I speak healing, health, and life. And wholeness over each and every one standing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, I want you to do me, just continue to stand and walk in that, would you? And just believe that. Oh, man. I so want to keep going. Because there's such good things coming that I want to share. We didn't even get to the message this morning. But I feel in my stirring in my heart just that there is just awakening for some of us in this room. We got to realize this is not, I don't know, I love people. And God loves us even more. Kenny alluded to, that was actually one of the scriptures I was going to go to there in Matthew 12. About the woman who asked for healing, and Jesus goes, well, that's the children's bread. Now, that belongs to the church. But we'll give you a miracle, which is where I'm going today, by the way, which is where I wanted to go. You see, one of the chapters in the book that we were doing on Wednesdays, I missed the Wednesday night meetings, but one of the chapters is about combining our faith, and we talked about faith to heal. Unbelievers don't have faith to heal. They're not believers, right? But signs, wonders, and miracles follow those that do believe. Signs, wonders, and miracles follow believers. And this is what I want to encourage you is signs, wonders, and miracles are for today. I was reading an article by a guy who is not spirit-filled at all. Actually, he's a, yeah, we'll go through all the, he's a cessationist. He doesn't even believe in the gifts of spirit. Yet he wrote an article about why signs and wonders and miracles still exist today. And I thought, wait a minute, the same scripture you use to say gifts have ceased, which is crazy because it's one verse in the whole Bible, and if you look, it's not even in context. It's in 1 Corinthians 13, when the perfect comes, the perfect shall, and where there's tongues and prophecy, they'll cease, blah, blah. Well, hold on a minute. Has the perfect come back yet? Have I missed this? He hasn't come back. They say, oh, the answer is, the perfect is the word. No, this was around even back when Jesus was around. Hello? It wasn't put together like this, but it was there. Scripture was being written during that time period. The perfect is referring when Jesus comes back. We won't need prophecy and tongues and the gifts anymore because we have him, and it's us. So I'm not going to argue in silly debates like that because why would the half of New Testament teach us how to prophesy, how to walk in the gifts of the Spirit if it wasn't for us today? It's one thing if they taught it in the Old Testament and Jesus goes, okay, hey, that's good now. Now that I came and I did all these things, now we're going to focus on this. No, it's the New Testament's full of it. Multiple times in multiple books, but don't despise prophecy, 1 Thessalonians. The whole 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 about the gifts of the Spirit. And on it goes. Different authors, different books, all of the entire New Testament confirms this. But I'm not here to convince anybody today, except I want to encourage you that as believers, not Spirit-filled believers, just believers, even though we're Spirit-filled believers too, believers ought to have signs, miracles, and wonders following them. Or the word, one scripture says, accompanying with them. I want to be in good company. Mark 16, and I'm going to hurry up. Don't worry. I'll finish this. All the scriptures I have in Acts, I've got six scriptures in Acts we're going to get to next week. Don't worry. So I'm just going to do the ones. I'm going to do Matthew, Mark, and Hebrews today, okay? And then I'll be done, okay? Just we're going to talk a bit. Verse 15, Mark 16, 15. And he said to them, go into all the world. Now, this is the part of the message I really want to get to today. And this is the part that Kenny is going to share more about next week. That's actually why he was confused about which one. He goes, which one am I doing here? No, that's why I had to come up here and stop him. I'm not there yet, buddy. He gets so excited about the healing part like me. We get excited. But Kenny has been feeling the lead of the Lord, and he and some others have went with him to go and to practice this out there. Let's practice signs, wonders, and miracles following those that believe. Let's go to the mall. Let's go to a place. I'm not going to ruin his testimonies, but he's going to get to that some next week. And this is the hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, so he's practicing that. We're going to get to that. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Here's the problem. The word preach doesn't just, it means declare. It means to, as a herald. But this is what I love about it. It doesn't say go powerless. It says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So my mother-in-law really does believe that's dogs, by the way. She really does. She does believe that she's going to get to see Howie again up in heaven. I'm not going to argue with her. It's futile. I've tried 20-plus years now. I'm just going to let her have her way, okay? She's going to see Howie. Okay, but all creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow, not maybe, not kind of, may hopefully, follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They take up any serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These signs. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Let's jump there real quick. And then this is where I'm going to put a bookmark in. And I'm going to say, please come back next week because there's really, the book of Acts is full. 17 times in the book of Acts, the apostles and others went out and saw a miracle take place with the salvation following. You see the pattern? 17 times in the book of Acts, a miracle took place so the gospel could get empowered. So Romans 1:16. For we are not ashamed of the gospel, for in it is the power of God to salvation. The gospel's more than just getting saved. It's the message of the good news that he came to heal, deliver, save, and free you. We preach the message, and we have signs and wonders accompanying us. How much more powerful is it a sign to the believers? Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, verse 1, we ought to give the most earnest heed the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, received a just recompense reward, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us. Yes, worship team, you can come up. Thank you. Good. I know I'm running late, and they're like, oh, are we supposed to go up? Are we not supposed to go up because our time has passed? Yes. Okay. My last verse. Yeah, my last verse. Please, this last part of verse 3 and all of verse 4 is a huge, huge. How shall we escape if we neglect such great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? How did it get confirmed? This is the confirmation that Jesus, he's talking about Jesus here, by the way. Jesus getting his message confirmed, God also bearing them witness, both with signs, wonders, and diverse miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. It's a question. Is this not how he confirmed Jesus? How he confirms us today? So these signs, wonders, and miracles will follow them in belief. And it's the same thing throughout, a pattern in Scripture, that when you go forth with these things, God wants to show forth himself to these people. If you go look, and I'm just going to refer to it, I promise. If you go look, and I'm so excited about this, I really am. I know, I'm trying really hard. Okay, I'm not asking us to be a sign seeker. I'm going to go ahead and go. Anyone goes, oh, brother, you're just seeking signs. Oh, no, read it. Matthew 12, don't you turn it. Matthew 12, 39, and Matthew 16, 1 through 4, talk about you perverse generation, always seeking a sign. Read the verse before it. It was a Pharisee going to him, hey, if it's really you, show us a sign. He goes, you hypocrite, quote Jesus, you hypocrite. All you seek for are signs. It's a perverse generation if that's what you, we're not asking you to seek that. I'm asking you to seek him. And signs and wonders follow those that believe. Because then you're going to find out in Acts 4, the apostles prayed for signs and wonders to accompany them. So it's not that signs and wonders are wrong. He, Jesus, did not want that to become an idol or, oh, come on, if it's really you, take yourself off the cross. You know he could have, right? So just he was not going to let the religious, the Pharisees, stop him from fulfilling what he's called to do. I believe the church has to know our inheritance, which is the first point of the message today. But we also have to know our mission. Next week, we're going to finish. Our mission is to destroy the works of the devil. Destroy. I want to see the works of the devil in Martinsville destroyed. How? By us going out of here and doing it. I'm telling you right now, I believe in prayer. But prayer precedes us going. I am tired. One more prayer meeting, we get on our knees and start praying for a city. That's great. Praying for their hearts to be ready for what? Us. I believe in supernatural visitations, but I'm believing that with yes. I am believing for supernatural hearts to be changed, that when I walk up to the door, I was praying this week that God, this person right now, not a believer, needs to hear something. I know they're struggling. Someone I know really well. Can you give me a word of encouragement? Just something that I know as I'm speaking, boom, the Lord gives me a word, and I begin to encourage them with it, and they go, wow, thank you. Kenny had a word last week during service, right? Not only did he pray for one, as he was walking out, somebody who doesn't go to church here said, that was all me, but I got to get out of here. I'm out of here. But later she says to me, because I knew her, how did he know that? I said, God gave him a word just because he wanted to encourage you. He knows that he cares about that head that was hurting of yours. I was able to minister later to her because of the word that God gave through Kenny. Folks, I'm not wanting to be a sign seeker, and I'm not saying every time you preach the gospel, you got to have a miracle. I'm telling you, are we ready, though? Are we ready to destroy the works of the devil here in Martinsville and the surrounding areas? Are we ready to go out and fulfill the mission that God's called this church to fulfill? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let's start in Martinsville. And I say preach, let's have signs, wonders, and miracles accompanying our preaching. But either way, it's going to take us to go first. I want to be a church that is honoring, and I think we are. I really do. We're going into a realm of seeing our vision clearer than we ever have. I want to honor his presence, which we have. Honor his word. Honor the time to minister, which we've already done. We'll do some more. I truly believe in my heart. It's time for us to get out. I was listening to a speaker that Kenny's been talking about, so I finally downloaded it. And he said, how hard is it right now to walk across the church and go, okay, Lord, can I go pray for their healing? How much harder is it to walk outside and pray for their healing? Pray for them. I believe it's time for us to realize that I love being safe. I love being equipped. I love being encouraged in the presence of God. But I want to be challenged to go. And I want to see people get saved in Martinsville. We're here to see saved. I love church and I want to have great church meetings. But I want to go and believe that those people out there, not remember Kenny said this a couple weeks ago, and I don't know who he quoted. I think it was Bill Johnson. We might not be able to get everyone in the community in here, but we can get everyone here out in the community. I want to see a church that gets so fired up, souls being saved, souls being changed. This morning, you're here. We love you. And there's people at the altar right now that want to pray with you. And as we're closing in worship, if you have a need, maybe you're not, as Kenny gave the word earlier about repentance, maybe there's something you just want someone to agree with you about, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, struggle you're having, doesn't matter. If you want someone to agree with you, we want to make sure we stand in agreement, in alignment with the word of God for you today. We also want to encourage you and equip you to go forth and to leave here not only victorious, but to see others. Let's take some souls from hell. Let's grab those people and love them to the point where they can get loved by Jesus. Amen. Let's stand.